This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, exploring the planet through time and space thanks to Matthew Lockwood. His new book, Explorers, A New History, looks at our planet from the point of view of people who were there but don't get written up as famous explorers. They did explore. They explored Europe, some instances. They explored medical science. We turn to a story I had never heard before, and it connects to the people of the United States. There was a smallpox pandemic that stretched across the Atlantic at the end of the 18th century. 1772, 74, you've read about how the Adams family risked inoculation of the children and the ordeal, because you get sick right away and then come back. Smallpox vaccination. Where did that come from? Who was Mary Wortley Montagu, and what did she discover, Matthew?
Yeah, so Mary Wortley Montagu is a fascinating figure. She's the wife of a British ambassador to Constantinople, the Ottoman court. And she insists on traveling with him there, and traveling in part overland because she was curious about the world she was encountering for the first time. And I think her story is a really important one when we think about the history of exploration, because exploration is also always about exchange. It's about exchange of ideas and information. And her story is the story of a particular exchange that had really important consequences for the world. So she arrives in Constantinople, the wife of an ambassador, and is someone who's curious about breaking down the walls that exist between Europeans and Constantinople and the people. And one of the things she encounters in attempting to get to know Ottoman women in particular is this practice of variolation. So variolation, as far as we can tell, begins in China in the 16th century. At least it's the first written evidence we have of it. And this is a practice of using a minor strain of smallpox to impart immunity. So you intentionally infect someone with a minor strain of smallpox to impart immunity in the future. And it has passed from China through the Middle East. It's known in Islamic Africa, but it is unknown in Europe until Mary Wortley Montagu sees Ottoman women performing this procedure. She's brave enough to have her young son variolated for smallpox. And I think smallpox was the great dread disease of the age, and so she's willing to watch this procedure, then to have it done on her son, and not only that, but to bring it back to England as a practice that should be adopted, to advocate for it, for this process of variolation. And from there are experiments in England. Eventually, the son of the king is variolated. And we get this knowledge of this life-saving procedure spreading from China to the Middle East, all the way to Europe.
A human astronomer. His name is Tupaia. And Matthew introduces him as the secret to Captain Cook's second voyage, maybe the secret to the Pacific for the British Empire. Who was Tupaia, born in 1725? What is that magic he has, Matthew?
Yeah, so he's a Polynesian star navigator. So he's someone who can read the stars and the currents and the winds and navigate across vast distances. And this is one of the fascinating things about human beings in general, but the Polynesians are a wonderful example, that they set out across great distances of open ocean to see what might lie beyond, and eventually populate all of the thousands of islands of the Pacific. And they do this through this system of navigation. And so Tupaia, when he's in Tahiti, when Captain Cook's expedition arrives, and he becomes close friends with Joseph Banks, who's the naturalist on Cook's expedition. And he's so curious about what the world is beyond the Polynesia he knows that he agrees to join the expedition. He wants to go all the way back to England. But the thing he offers to Cook, to Cook's expedition, is this knowledge of Polynesia. He draws detailed maps from memory of the islands of the Pacific, their positions, the currents, sometimes even such small details as the best entrance through a reef into a lagoon. And some of this he does from memory, and some of this is based on knowledge passed down to him. Some of these islands are places he's never been himself, but he can tell them all of the details about their position, their location, and the best places to land. And so he's this, it's another one of these remarkable moments of exchange that we don't think about as often as we should. We think about Cook, we think about the bravery and adventure of Europeans sailing across vast oceans, but we don't think about the sort of information they gain from guides and interpreters and indigenous peoples that allows them to see the world in new ways.
No one is more famous for discovering naturalism, almost inventing it, than Alexander von Humboldt, still worshipped in European circles today. Matthew has a secret that I did not know. Alexander von Humboldt had a guide. His name was Carlos Del Pino. Who was he, Matthew?
Yeah, so this is another one of those things we often forget. We think about these great expeditions of discovery, and we think about individuals. We think about lone individuals setting out across oceans or into the bush with their machete at the ready. But we don't think about the people that guide these expeditions, the people that interpret for these explorers. And Carlos Del Pino is one of these figures for Alexander von Humboldt. When Humboldt first arrives in South America and his ship is approaching shore, Del Pino is in a canoe off the coast himself, sees the ship and is immediately curious, rows out, clambers aboard, and immediately engages the great explorer in conversations about the natural world. And it turns out that Carlos Del Pino is an explorer himself. He is fascinated by the natural world. He wants to know all he can about it. And so it's this really interesting exchange between von Humboldt and Carlos Del Pino. When they first arrive on the coast of South America in Venezuela, Del Pino takes them immediately to his own garden to show him the trees and plants he's cultivated, and then agrees to join the expedition into the interior. And throughout the journey is constantly in conversation with von Humboldt about the things they're seeing. He gives them the local names for things, explains the characteristics of plants and animals. And so I think it's a really important thing to keep in mind that so much of the knowledge that is gained in this period by Europeans and Americans is imparted by indigenous people like Carlos Del Pino.
Another indigenous person that's just a joy to discover in Matthew's book, his name is John Edmondson. He has an establishment he stuffs animals in Edinburgh, Scotland. And one day, a 16-year-old fascination comes into the shop. Who is John Edmondson? Who's the 16-year-old?
So John Edmondson was born into slavery in South America on a woodcutting plantation up in the jungle. And when he's young himself, he meets a Scottish explorer who's traveling through the jungle and ends up on this woodcutting plantation. And from the Scottish explorer, he learns the art of taxidermy, especially of birds. Later on, Edmonston gains his freedom, travels to Scotland, in part because he'd learned about Scotland from this this Scottish explorer, and sets up a taxidermy shop in Edinburgh. He makes a good living. He becomes well known as one of the best taxidermists in Edinburgh. And the man who walks in his door one day, the young man, is a dissatisfied medical student named Charles Darwin. And Darwin was a bit at sea at this moment. He was following in the footsteps of his father and grandfather and going into medicine, but didn't really have the interest in it he had hoped. But he was fascinated by the natural world. And in John Edmondson's shop, he got to engage with it firsthand and with someone who shared this fascination with the natural world and with birds in particular. And so when Darwin later sets out on his famous Beagle expedition and lands in the Galapagos Islands and observes the finches that will be so important to his theory of natural selection. It's the techniques taught to him by John Edmondson in Edinburgh in his taxidermy shop that will allow him to preserve the specimens he uses to construct this theory of natural selection. So a fascinating moment of exchange and convergence.
The book is explores Matthew Lockwood, A New History. When we come back, the 19th century, the end of exploration, the beginning of exploration. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.